Well, I'm going to begin this evening with a pre-sermon quiz. This is something I do every now and then because I think it helps us learn, consider things. The quiz is going to utilize this amillennial chart that we have been showing you. I'm going to read three passages I think you will recognize. I'm not going to tell you where the passages are located. I'm just going to read the verse or the verses. For each passage, I ask you to mentally mark on the chart where the passage was or will be experienced. Does the passage concern time before the beginning of the millennium, Old Testament days before Christ's first coming? Does the passage concern time during the millennium, these days that we are now living in between the two comings of Christ? Does the passage concern time after the millennium, after the second coming of Christ? Or do you think the passage involves two or three of the time periods? For each passage, I'm asking you to mentally mark which time period or time periods the passages occur. Are you ready? You're going to have to make your decisions quickly, all right? Here we go. Here's the first passage. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." Which of the time periods was or will be those words said in? Did Old Testament saints hear those words? Do saints today hear those words? Will those words be said only in the future? Do saints of all time periods hear those words? Mark in your mind what you think. We're going to, again, move quickly, all right? Here's the next passage, the second one. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So where were those rooms, or were those rooms enjoyed by saints in the Old Testament before Christ came the first time? Are those rooms being enjoyed now during the millennium? Will they only be enjoyed after the second coming of Christ? Do all saints of all time periods enjoy those rooms? Which of the time periods go with that passage? Mark your answer now. Here is the final passage. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Did Old Testament saints enjoy that list of blessings? Are saints enjoying those blessings now, or will the blessings only be enjoyed in the future after Christ returns? Okay, you should have now marked all of your answers mentally. How do you think you did? Well, are you ready for the answer? Here it is. Technically, all three of the passages I read to you concern the time after the second coming of Christ, what we often refer to as the final state. The first passage, which comes from Matthew chapter 25, is part of a parable concerning a master who went away and returns. And it is surrounded by parables concerning the return of Christ. So what we're being told is that Christ will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when he returns the second time. Does he say it now as well, when a believer dies? Well, maybe, but that's not what the passage teaches, okay? The passage is clearly about his return. The second passage, which comes from John 14, also concerns the return of Christ. Notice Jesus says, "I will come again." Jesus wasn't talking about taking us to himself when we die. He was speaking of his return. I will tell you that I have used this passage at funerals many times because I believe it's appropriate to do so. It does teach us very comforting truth that can help us when we're grieving the death of a loved one. But strictly, this passage is about the return of Christ. And the final passage, which comes from Revelation chapter 23, is part of a passage about the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus will usher in at his return. So it's clearly after his return. So technically, all three passages concern only the return of Christ, what we call the final state, which is going to be an awesome state. Our plan is to end this series with a sermon on the final state. The final state, the consummation, is what the Bible points to with great excitement. The final state is our ultimate hope. Constantly, the Bible is pointing us there. Now, here's the point that I've been leading up to with that pre-sermon quiz. The Bible actually says very little about what we call the intermediate state, the state of believers and unbelievers who die during these last days before the return of Christ. That's one truth I hope you grasp tonight. The Bible says little about the intermediate state. The Bible, again, constantly points to the final state because that is our ultimate hope. It is important to know that so we don't get confused about what the Bible teaches. For instance, anyone who thinks we're merely going to be souls for all eternity is missing a beautiful, awesome, emphasized truth in the Scriptures. There's a difference between the intermediate state and the final state. Tonight, we're going to learn what the Bible does teach about the intermediate state. Again, there's not a lot about it in the Bible. But it is good to know what the Bible does teach about the intermediate state. So that is my lengthy but hopefully interesting introduction to the sermon, in which we will consider two important questions about the intermediate state. Here are the two questions. One, what happens when a believer dies during this time period, during this intermediate state? And second, what happens when an unbeliever dies during this time period, during this intermediate state? What's it all about? What happens when we die? To answer the questions, we're going to look at several passages, beginning with Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. And for this passage, I ask you to stand for the reading. It's our practice here to stand for the reading of the Word of God. For the message, we stand in honor of him. We recognize this is his holy word to us. Luke chapter 23, verses 39, starting with verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word, which teaches us so much, all that we need to know for faith and life. And we are excited tonight to consider what you have in store for us, even right now during these days. And we pray that you would open our minds to what your Bible, what your word does teach us. And may you encourage us and strengthen us and spur us on to live and glorify you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a great passage in which we see a person become a believer. Specifically, one of the criminals who is dying on the cross next to Jesus became a believer right there on the cross. And Jesus said to this new believer, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Amazing, terrific words for this criminal to hear. But here's an important question. What exactly was Jesus communicating when he said these words to the criminal? Some believe Jesus is saying, in just a few hours, before this 24-hour period is up, you will be with me in paradise. Others reject that conclusion and believe that Jesus is referring to how one experiences sleep. Think about this with me. Have you ever been sick and fallen asleep for many hours? If so, what is a question you have when you wake up? What time is it? Right? Or even what day is it? Coma patients really experience that. They have no idea what day it is when they wake up. For them, it seems like, you know, just a day went by, when in reality, weeks or months maybe went by. Some believe that is what Jesus promised the believing criminal. You know, you're going to go to sleep, you're going to die, and when you wake up, it's going to feel like you are entering paradise this very day. But is that really what we should conclude from this passage? What happens when a believer dies? Look with me at the next verses of Luke 23. After Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," we read this, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Here we read that Jesus committed his spirit into his Father's hands. Dear friends, that comment is not about the Holy Spirit. That comment is about the human spirit of Jesus. Jesus became fully man. So just like we have a body and a spirit, also called a soul, spirit, soul, same thing, just like we have a body and a soul, well, so does Jesus. And right before the human body of Jesus died, he committed his human spirit, his human soul, to God. Why would he do that? Answer, because upon his death, his human soul